Hello, and welcome to the Ryersonian This Week, a weekly newscast focusing on Ryerson-related news. I'm Michael Delamonte.
And I'm Bryce Turner.
And together with Ricardo Serrano and the Ryersonian staff, we will be bringing you the news you need to know.
On today's newscast, you will hear how a Ryerson athlete has reacted to the ongoing Trump NFL controversy, a possible graduate student union at Ryerson, and in what ways coverage for an HIV prevention drug will change access for students who couldn't afford it before. But before all that, a new Ryersonian project that puts the spotlight on the people that make the university unique, Humans of Ryerson. Inspired by Humans of New York, a social media movement collecting stories of New Yorkers that has evolved into a photo blog and book, Humans of Ryerson will do the same with students on campus. The Ryersonian has sent out our reporter, Julie Faye Germansky, to photograph and interview members of our diverse campus community. Humans of Ryerson is a weekly online photo series featuring a different area on campus with each edition. This week, we explored the quad. Here's Kathleen Pick, who studies performance dance.
My shoulders are just very broad for my stature, so they tend to look large, and because of that, judges who don't see me standing still just assume I'm raising them on purpose. It was just, my body is shaped like that, and that was hard to hear all the time.
For more on this week's Humans of Ryerson, check out ryersonian.ca.
Right now, graduate students don't have a student union of their own. All graduate students fall under the umbrella of the RSU, but that could soon change. Ricardo Serrano has a story.
Graduate students' unions at Ryerson might soon have a union of their own. The Graduate Students' Council at the Ryerson Student Union is planning on calling a referendum to create an independent union for graduate students. The referendum will decide whether graduate students agree to establishing a unique student union and if they accept the proposed fee, which is yet to be established. RSU Vice President of Education Daniel Lees said that having a student union of their own would give graduate students more autonomy over the way their funds are distributed.
The idea of a graduate students union came from the graduate students. For a few years now, they've been saying that they've been wanting to have more independence and more say in how their funds are distributed and how they can run themselves and their bylaws and not have to go through the levels that we have here in the RSU, which is completely understandable.
In this year's proposed budget, the Graduate Students' Council has assigned $89,500, all from graduate students' fees. But any decision about how that money is going to be distributed must have the approval of all RSU members, most of whom are undergraduate students. Graduate students Katie Yamamoto says that having a graduate students' union would be beneficial for the students and shares what she expects from such a union.
I think that it's a great idea to have a student union that really represents the interests and rights of graduate students at Ryerson. It might be nice to have like graduate mixers across faculties or across programs, or to be able to advocate for more policy changes in favor of grad students.
If approved by students in the referendum and then by the university's governors, the Graduate Students Union will exist next year. For Ryerson News, I am Ricardo Serrano.
Canada will be legalizing marijuana by July 2018. The Ontario provincial government said 40 stores will be selling cannabis by next summer, but there are plenty of other economic opportunities for entrepreneurs, students included. Michael has more.
Studies show marijuana is poised to become a $22.6 billion industry in Canada. But what are Ontario universities doing to prepare students to work in this new sector? Bradley Poulos, a lecturer in entrepreneurship at the Ted Rogers School of Management, says Ryerson needs to be an innovator in marijuana education.
We should be taking a business approach to this industry. There are others. Niagara College has already announced that they've got a program for how to grow the product. We should be complementing that with some sort of a program to help students prepare for the business side of the cannabis industry.
Niagara College announced last week that they will be offering students a post-grad certificate in marijuana growing and production. Over here at Ryerson, two marijuana-related companies already work out of the Ryerson DMZ startup incubator. But Poulos thinks there should be a dedicated cannabis incubator.
I'd like to see a cannabis-focused incubator here that could both serve companies that are doing cannabis tech as well as working on the plant or retail models or anything in the cannabis space.
Poulos already advises companies in the cannabis industry and says there are many tech opportunities students and entrepreneurs can capitalize on. Delivery apps, testing software, and high-tech smoking devices are all examples of innovations that could be coming out of Ryerson. Much like Niagara College, Ryerson could also offer science students courses in cannabis growing and production. But do Ryerson students even want to take a course or a program all about marijuana?
Yeah, if legalizing marijuana like becomes a thing, then there's only benefits to like teaching students about getting a job in the field and like maybe like further developing it with technology and stuff like that.
I mean, unless you have hard facts like promoting it or why it's good for you, I don't really think that it should be taught in schools.
Ryerson has yet to really have a formal conversation on the possibility of marijuana-related education programs. Legalization, though, is set for next July, so if Ryerson does want to be at the forefront of this new industry, the clock is ticking. Ryerson alum and director Alicia K. Harris is releasing a film next year, a semi-autobiographical work focusing on her experiences as a Black woman. Titled Pick, the film tackles and dissects the social stigma surrounding the Afro. Ryersonian reporter Abigail Murta had a chance to speak with the director about the film and joins us now. Welcome, Abigail. Thanks for coming.
No problem. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. And this film must have been inspired from a lot of life experiences, which must have been a very personal kind of endeavor for her to do.
It was. She grew up in Scarborough and, you know, she mentions harmful comments that people have told her throughout her time in secondary school as well as preschool. Comments that had an unintentional ignorance, and she addresses that at how uneducated people are, in terms of anything regarding the Black community. And so she brings that to life through her protagonist, who, of course, wears her afro, her natural hair, on picture day. And throughout the course of the day, however, she faces microaggressions from her teachers and peers.
Okay, and so is addressing the issue of microaggressions the specific intent in making the film?
Definitely. And so we're going to hear this from Harris.
I wanted to make the film because Black women and our hair it's a big thing for us, mainly because from such a young age, we are made to feel like we need to fit into a Eurocentric beauty standard that we really can't fit into. The aim of the film is to normalize some of our experiences and also to show people how their words can affect us.
So discrimination doesn't stop at school. Did the filmmaker experience other forms of discrimination?
Yes. So she actually mentions, you know, Jack Astor's and companies like Zara that actually have policies of how you should look. Leaving your hair out naturally in a fro is unacceptable. And so, yeah, so it addresses obviously not only Black people, but anybody who identifies with that kind of hair.
Okay. So this isn't a movie just for Black women or Black people.
No. It addresses anyone that feels marginalized, and so we'll hear from Harris right here.
We all just want to be accepted and loved, you know? We don't want to... That's why the film is, like, pretty universal. Like, yeah, it's about a girl that's dealing with specifically her hair and everyone else's comments, but it's about somebody who feels like they don't fit in to a situation, and we've all been in a scenario where we feel like we don't fit in or we're different, especially marginalized people. We all have felt left out at some point.
So we don't have much time left, Abigail. Is there anything else you'd like to mention about the film?
Yeah, I mean, Harris brings out an educational aspect of the Afro and the social stigma behind it, especially in communities where, you know, it's predominantly white. And she's bringing, you know, this piece to life to educate this side of society that hasn't quite made the effort or hasn't even been subjected into a space where you could actually learn about anything past this box that they have lived in.
Great. Well, thank you, Abigail. For more on Pick and Abigail's interview with Harris, and when you can watch the film, head to ryersonian.ca. And now here is Bryce with sports.
Players kneeling during the national anthem at NFL games have made headlines this past week, with U.S. President Donald Trump saying that players should be fired for disrespecting the flag. The Ryersonian reached out to several Ryerson Rams athletes to get their take on the story. Only one player wanted to speak on the issue, men's basketball forward Warsam Muhammad. While the protests from football players have been in the spotlight, Basketball stars LeBron James and Steph Curry have also spoken out in response to President Trump's comments. Muhammad agrees with star athletes like James and Curry using their platform to discuss this topic.
I think it's actually perfect right now what they're doing because they're getting their voice out there. And social media, it's a social media era, obviously, so everybody's going to see it. No matter who it is, everybody's going to see it. So I think it's great.
There is, however, some concern that Russian trolls are escalating the controversy using social media. But for the NFL players kneeling during the anthem, Muhammad believes that people should focus on the message these athletes are saying rather than pick apart the method through which they're saying it.
I think Colin Kaepernick is showing that I think he can be an American hero because back in the day, Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, they all got picked apart and all that stuff while they were trying to send a message. But 30, 40, 50 years later, we all consider them an American hero.
While Muhammad understands the athletes' decisions in the U.S., he doesn't anticipate this issue arising here in Canada.
I mean, in the United States, it's kind of different as we hear all this news about the police brutality that's going on everywhere and like the racial justice. But I wouldn't kneel down in Canada because I respect Canada a lot. And I'm very patriotic to this country. And I don't see any negative aspect that's coming in Canada.
While Muhammad won't be kneeling during the Canadian anthem, Ryerson Athletics Director Dr. Ivan Joseph says he respects any athlete's right to protest in any way they wish. For more with Muhammad and Joseph, tune into this week's edition of Ryersonian TV, which is online now.
And now onto the interview portion of our show. Truvada, better known as PrEP, is a prescription medicine that prevents HIV infection. Basically, if you're on PrEP and taking it correctly, the chance of you being infected by HIV is virtually zero. PrEP used to cost upwards of $1,000 a month, but as of yesterday, the drug will be covered by Ontario's health plan. Joining us is Zahid Samani, pharmacist and owner of the Village Pharmacy just above Ryerson campus on Church Street, to talk about PrEP and what OHIP coverage means for Ryerson students. Welcome, Zahid.
Yes. Hi.
So the first question I'll start with is, there are a lot of misconceptions as to what PrEP is or what it does. What exactly does this drug do?
PrEP uses an HIV drug treatment, namely Truvada, by an HIV-negative person to reduce their risk of contracting HIV.
Okay, and what is the dosage like? Are there any side effects?
The only approved PrEP therapy in Canada is Truvada. And it's just one pill once a day. The side effects are minimal. There was a study that compared it to the side effects of aspirin, and that study concluded that aspirin had more side effects.
Okay, and who exactly is this drug like made for or geared towards? And do you get a lot of students at the Village Pharmacy, maybe specifically Ryerson students, seeking out this drug?
I do. Students are more aware of their risks these days. And I've had U of T and Ryerson students come in to fill prescriptions for PrEP, and they're taking their health into their own hands.
And, I mean, one of the big things that happened this week is now OHIP covers PrEP/Truvada. How do you think this will change access to the drug?
So OHIP will cover PrEP through its Ontario Drug Benefit Program, mm-hmm. which covers people on disability, senior citizens, people on Ontario Works, as well as the Trillium Drug Program.
Okay, so the average person not on a health plan would be able to get most of the drug covered through Trillium?
Correct.
And how difficult is it to get a prescription for PrEP?
It's not hard at all. Many doctors, especially downtown, are familiar with PrEP.
And, I mean, you already kind of described how PrEP protects against HIV infection, but does it cover other STIs?
Unfortunately, it doesn't. So we don't suggest people use PrEP instead of condoms. It's just an additional protection. It doesn't protect against other STIs like syphilis and gonorrhea. So people have to know that and take precautions.
Okay, and you just mentioned how HIV rates have kind of declined because of PrEP. Do you think that'll be even more prevalent in Ontario now that there is some health coverage?
That's the hope. In San Francisco, HIV new infection rate has never been lower. And this, I believe, is due to more people with HIV being treated for that, as well as more people taking PrEP.
Okay, great. That's all the time we have. Thank you so much for joining us, Zahid.
Thank you very much.
Zahid Samani is the owner and pharmacist at the Village Pharmacy at 473 Church Street. If you have any questions about PrEP, Zahid and his staff would be more than happy to help. And that is Ryerstonian this week for September 25th to 29th. For the latest on Ryerson-related news, be sure to listen to our morning update every weekday at 10 a.m. on CJRU. Head to theryerstonian.ca, follow us on social media, and pick up the latest edition of the paper every Wednesday.
This newscast will also be available online. You can access it every week by subscribing to us on iTunes Podcast and Google Play. A special thanks to the Ryersonian reporters who made this newscast possible, Angela Glover and RSJ's fantastic production team, and our guest. I'm Bryce Turner.
And I'm Michael Delamonte. And on behalf of the Ryersonian team, thanks for listening.